When America hears women of Orange County, you might think of a reality show. No, we're talking real life. We're talking about some true leaders in everything from media and magazines to politics and philanthropy. This episode on Olympic and Bundy is on the women of Coast. Oh, yeah. And I'd like my two guests who made the trek up to Los Angeles from Orange County to introduce themselves. Sam?
Hi, I'm Samantha Dunn. I'm the executive editor of Coast Magazine. Thanks for having us, Christine.
Yes, and I should say that I have been lucky enough to MC your luncheon.
I was going to bring that up. Thank you so much. 2 years in a row.
Well, and that's, you know why I do those events? So I can meet the people who are making a difference.
Yeah, thank you. Well, it makes a big difference for your support because that was a really key in launching the event. I'm sure we'll talk about it.
Not about me on this podcast. It's about you all. And so you have brought one of your honorees with us, Kate.
I have.
Yes. Hi, I'm Katie Calvota. I'm founder of G3 Ventures in Newport Beach, California. I'm also the founder of Asian Americans Rising and also a co-founder of WAVE.
Okay. You see what I said when I said amazing true leaders out of Orange County?
Incredible.
Founder.
Yeah.
Okay. Tell us about the three organizations.
Well, G3 Ventures is our charitable LLC. We do philanthropy, impact investments, and advocacy. Asian Americans Rising is a political action committee that we started last year to affect change in Orange County. And then Women for American Values and Ethics, WAVE, is also a political action committee for women in Orange County.
When do you have the time to do all three of these things?
Good question.
We have a coalition, a big tribe of women
you
helping
delegate.
Us. Yes.
Yes. Okay. So, Samantha, talk about the Women of Coast. First off, Coast is a magazine.
Right. Coast is a magazine that's been in Orange County. It's a regional lifestyle magazine for the tastemakers and trendsetters of Orange County that's been around for almost 30 years. We're currently owned by the Orange County Register, so we're part of that Southern California news group. And I'm so glad in your intro you brought up the idea of women in Orange County, and you think of a reality show.
A certain reality show with women.
Yeah. Shall remain nameless. But, you know, as entertaining as that can be, I really wanted to change that narrative because I moved to Orange County from Los Angeles about 15 years ago, and I had all of the, preconceptions about what that...
The images.
Yes.
Yeah.
And what I found was something entirely different. I found people like Katie Calvota. I found that there was an incredibly active, engaged community there, driven, I must say, in large part by women. And so we wanted at the magazine to reflect the reality of what we saw was going on in Orange County. And have you heard of a thing called shine theory by any chance?
Well, I saw your notes.
Yeah.
So explain that.
Well, I hadn't heard of it when we first initiated the Women of Coast idea, but it's what we're all about. It was a term coined by two journalists a few years ago to describe the practice of mutual investment among people, ooh, particularly women, to lift each other up and to collaborate. And so the premise is, I don't shine if you don't shine.
I love that.
Yeah, right? And so it's impossible not to notice how much of the, the culture of Orange County is built by women like Katie and so many hundreds of others. So we ask, what would happen if we created an opportunity for all of these local influential women to celebrate each other's accomplishments? And that's what we're about. With this event and our special issue, Women of Coast, to really highlight that and help perpetuate that forward, if that makes sense.
It's a great luncheon of networking and camaraderie, and you learn so much about the women doing their different things in the Orange County community. You know, being a news anchor here in Los Angeles, Fox 11 here, you know, we often focus a lot on L.A., and so it's my chance to get to the O.C.
Yeah.
and to really meet some neat people. So, Katie, you were an honoree this year, luncheon number two. How did you feel when you got the word, the announcement?
Well, Sam had reached out to me like early on, and I had no idea what she was, she had up her sleeve. She always has something cooking, and I always know it's very, very exciting. So I said yes immediately, not knowing what I was signing myself up for. But when she told me, I was just hugely honored. I just felt, my friendship with Samantha is amazing. One of the few key people I know who truly believe in this shine theory and really walks the walk, not just talks the talk. In our lives, everything that we do depends on the people who support us, right? So with Asian Americans Rising, for instance, one of our motto is we're trying to build a constellation, coming back to this shine theory, that we don't just create an organization just to be part, you know, to exist, but we're there to help shine the light on the entire cause and not to dim someone else's light. It is important that we see ourselves as part of the big picture, part of the constellation, and not to take away someone else's light.
So I'm looking at the June issue here, where you highlight the women.
Oh, the June issue is actually top women in healthcare. This is our May issue.
Oh, okay.
That's May? All right.
Yeah. So which issue is it that has the
Women of Coast?
Yes.
Yes, it's May.
May.
Yeah.
May, okay.
But it's something, I'm glad you brought up June, because this whole idea of forwarding the women's voices has really become our cause at the magazine, as you see reflected in the next issue, Top Women in Healthcare. We're just carrying it forward.
So this issue that I'm looking at has the luncheon, the issue before, profiles all of your honorees.
Precisely.
Gotcha. Okay. So Katie, did you know the other women that were honored?
Some of them I did, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. It's
and
really exciting.
You also met some new people?
I did. There were lots of people there that, you know, our paths didn't cross before because, you know, they were interested in different things. I was there for my advocacy work, and so a lot of them didn't know I existed either. So it was great. It was a great camaraderie of women.
And that was what, if I can jump in here,
please.
That's really what's up our sleeve in doing this, because it's more than just a feel-good initiative, right? It's more than just patting each other on the back. There's actually research that having people together, having women in particular come together like this, know each other across a broad spectrum of influence, can relate to tangible results in our lives and in our communities. I'm sorry, I'll just shut up in just a minute.
We have a whole half hour. That's the beauty of the podcast. It's not like a newscast that's a minute 30. We have a whole half hour.
I love it. Radio rules. Yeah. But the Harvard Business Review just recently published some research that showed that women who have a close circle of comrades, if you will, friends certainly, but just colleagues, other women colleagues from a broad range of fields, are more successful, and they're able to have more impact. In fact, a quote from Forbes I keep up in my office.
I love the Forbes quotes.
Yes, yeah. It's great. It says, "A woman alone has power. Collectively, we have impact." And that is what that's all about.
Well, Katie, I feel like you and I connected on a couple things. One, right after this, I want to run you down to meet our political reporter, Alex Michelson.
Oh, yeah.
He does a show called The Issue Is. And I said, hey, I've got Orange County in the house for you.
That's right.
So I'm going to drag you down there. You'll meet him.
Okay.
And then also, of course, with the Vietnamese community.
Yes.
We have the connection. Tell me about your story first, and then I'll just do a little of mine.
Yeah, well, our family are refugees from Vietnam during the Vietnam War. We came to the U.S. Vis-a-vis Malaysia. We were at the refugee camp in Malaysia for 13 months. And so everything that's happening on the southern border right now just breaks my heart, because it reminds me of our family's journey. But we came to the U.S. We landed in New Orleans, Louisiana. So I'm what you would call the Cajun Asian. And then I came to Orange County after going to school and made Orange County my home. And lo and behold, here's a really thriving, vibrant Vietnamese community in Orange County. But we also have a lot of issues. We have some health disparities. We have some needs in the community. And when I started Asian Americans Rising, it was really to shine a spotlight on those issues and really help out in ways that I could provide philanthropy as well as advocacy.
Okay, so we related that way because my family, as I told you, mm-hmm. had taken in Vietnamese refugee children.
Yes.
And so when my sister would come out to Los Angeles, she would want to go have Vietnamese food in Orange County.
Yes.
So that was a big thing for us.
Well, I have the perfect spot for you. So
you
next
do.
Time you come down.
Okay.
Yes, there's one pho restaurant in Little Saigon that has a James Beard Award.
There's just one?
Just one.
Oh, wow.
There might be one more coming, but this one, I ate there last night with some friends.
Send out the name.
Yeah, it's Pho 79 mm-hmm. on Brookhurst and Hazard.
I'll write it down.
It's a little hole in the wall with a Michelin
the best.
Star.
The
oh,
best.
My gosh. Yeah, it's a
really?
Must. And no, it's a must.
There are long lines, so just anticipate some lines.
Oh, that's great. That's a new story right there.
Yeah.
Okay, so very good. That was our initial connection. I felt like I could so relate to your story and your journey, but your success is what's so impressive to me. And Samantha, I got to think for her community to see her shine at your event with a trophy.
Yeah,
I mean,
it was really incredible. She embodies so much of what we're talking about here. I mean, what she didn't say was she came from her family was very wealthy. Yes, in Vietnam, they lost everything.
I know the story.
I mean, your brother was born in international waters.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you guys came here with nothing, and you have a degree from Berkeley. Mm-hmm. You were a wealth manager, if that's the right shorthand for what your career was initially.
Thank
you. You broke down a lot of barriers, shattered some glass ceilings, and here you are as a representative of what not only women can do, but what the Vietnamese community represents in the county.
I'm so touched. You know, it's hard because on one hand, I love to be able to talk about our experience and share that with the rest of the community. There's also a bit of a burden on, you know, sort of being featured that way. And mm-hmm. so I just hope every day I'm doing the community proud.
I think we all feel the burden to, you know,
as women
do our
too.
Communities proud. Mm-hmm. But I can relate to the story about being a refugee because my brothers, two of them, served in the Navy. And mm-hmm. one was telling the story how then he went and served back towards the region where he escaped. Because I remember being on this military ship looking down and seeing the little boats that we escaped on, thinking, wow, I did that, got out on that. Yeah, so true stories of survival, really.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah. I think they're so inspiring for all of us, not just for the people within the community, but to say this is the truth of the human spirit.
Well, the idea that America invested in our family, and then now we can give back to the country, this adopted country that we love, it just tells you the beauty and the promise of what America could be, right?
Well, I think, too, the American dream, the mm-hmm. opportunity to have an education, a safe place to call home, not to live with the fear of military and death.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Exactly.
Yes. Okay, and how did you pick, Sam? How did you pick the honorees like Katie?
I knew you were going to ask
this. Is this a secret sauce?
It's a secret sauce. Honestly, you know, there are some initiatives that the Orange County Register does that's based on votes from readers, but we wanted a curated list. So I have I call them my kitchen cabinet of well-connected people within Orange County. I go to that kitchen cabinet. I also, as you see in the magazine every month, we are out and about and very much integrated within
because
the community.
I bumped into you how many times?
I don't know.
Entrepreneur
like
of the Year Awards, Orange County.
Yeah.
I'm like, are you stalking me?
No, I'm sure you're stalking me. That's what
the Teen Project.
The Teen Project. Yeah. So exactly. I mean, there's so much going on. And so I'm taking notes and we're all in our staff taking notes. Mm-hmm. And then there are the editors at the Orange County Register. And we really go through an exhaustive process to see who is doing what at this juncture, at this point in time, that needs to be highlighted, that is resonating with some larger issue in the culture.
Okay.
And let me tell you, there is never a shortage of names.
I am looking at the magazine here, and I'm just going to throw out a name, and you tell me who they are and what they did.
All right.
All right. Nicole Soydem and Sue Parks.
So Nicole Soydem is, Soydem actually, is the CEO of Goodwill Orange County. But she came from the Second Harvest Food Bank, where she was also CEO. And what she did there at Second Harvest was raise the profile of that food bank, which serves so many underprivileged people in the county. Side note, you know, you hear Orange County and you think money, frankly, right? You think wealth.
Except if you watch our news, Fox 11.
Except if you watch.
We are hearing a lot about the homeless crisis
exactly.
in Orange County as much as L.A.
Exactly.
Right. So Goodwill, so needed.
Goodwill, so needed. And so she has been one of the most high-profile people in the community serving those who need the most service.
And often it's working families.
It's often working families, vets, right? Yeah. Returning veterans who need support. And Sue Parks is the president of United Way. And
great support.
Was incredible. Yeah. I mean, this is the social service network within the county that mm-hmm. is again, who's it run by? Women.
So, Katie, did you know these two?
I know Sue. Actually, I'm going to have lunch with her on Monday.
But okay.
Yeah. She has asked me to join their board. United Way Orange County.
Because you have so much free time.
I have so much free time. But Sue is a lovely person. One of the things that I love about Sue as a leader in the community is she goes and visits every single city in the county in order to assess their needs and be able to bring it back to United Way to see how they can help. So great organizations led by terrific people, terrific women.
Let me just say about Nicole, too. She is very active in the community. And she came from a home in Santa Maria, single mom, mobile home park, really pulled herself up by the bootstraps, and she's never forgotten that. And you see that reflected in her leadership.
Okay, I'll throw out other names. Judy Moore.
Judy Moore has been the vice president of the Segerstrom Center for the Arts for, shall we say, eternity?
Okay, and if you've never been to Segerstrom Center for the Arts, that is a must-do.
It's a world-class.
Stunning.
It's a world-class facility. It really, truly is. I can't believe people haven't been there.
And I ran into you there.
You did?
Remember?
What event were we at? Oh, see, maybe
Hamilton.
Hamilton.
Oh, I was
went
there
to the theater.
Too. Yeah.
Opening night of Hamilton?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Awesome. Wouldn't miss it.
Maybe I am stalking you, Christine.
Something's wrong. Well, I think that, you know, we both see that there are some amazing things happening in Orange County.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I want to say about Judy.
Yeah.
Judy is the quintessential behind-the-scenes person that you wouldn't ever, she would never seek a spotlight ever in her entire life. I had to drag her kicking and screaming into this Women of Coast.
But to honor the arts is so important.
Yes. I mean, she has really been the person to keep that thing together. I mean, not to disrespect anybody else. It is a collective endeavor, but Judy is the unspoken hero of so much of what goes on over there.
Mm-hmm. And Katie, you can probably attest that Segerstrom is such an important part of
Orange
County.
It's the venue of our upcoming Democratic Presidential Forum. So it's 3,000
seats. When is that?
It's September 8th, and it's going to be hosted at Segerstrom.
Okay, so we will have to talk to our political reporter, Alex, about that.
It is the first time, if I may, right? It's the first time in Orange County that we have actually hosted a Democratic presidential debate ever. And a lot of that, all of it, has to do with Katie Kalvoda and the constellation of people that she has gotten together.
So it's one of the debates?
It's not a DNC-sanctioned debate. It's a Democratic Presidential Forum. Independently,
Okay.
Put on by us.
Who are we expecting at that?
We are expecting the top candidates, but because the field is so fluid, you know, we just have to wait and see to announce later on.
So with these debates then, at the end of July, we should know if the field gets narrowed down just a little bit.
I think so, because the threshold increases, you know, for the third one in Houston.
So let me just get into politics then, because that's another thing that caught my eye. A Democrat in Orange County. We don't always think of Orange County as being Democrat territory. I know that's kind of changing a little bit, but... talk about that.
Well, I think it's a changing of the guards a little bit. I think there are different people moving into Orange County. There are younger people living there, much more multicultural than it ever was before. So it speaks to the time, right? And it also speaks to our values as Orange County families, as Orange County suburban, you know, housewives that led a lot of the blue wave in 2018. I think for us, it was a time to reassess who we are and who we want to be.
Well, I know this is not a political podcast, so we're going to keep it more on the focus of the leadership aspect. And then when you talk to Alex, you can go all hard on the politics on that one. Okay, I'm going to throw out another name here as I'm looking at this. Annette Walker, one of your presenters, right?
Yeah. Annette is the CEO of the City of Hope, which is the cancer center.
We're talking medical now.
Yes, exactly. That is well-respected, of course, in Los Angeles and is now moving into Orange County. And she was the presenter for Deirdre Polhos, who, as we know, that the name Albert Polhos.
Might have heard that name Polhos before
that.
If we're talking sports.
Yeah, exactly. But you might not have heard of his amazing wife, Deirdre, who is in and of herself a powerhouse. I mean, what is so incredible about Deirdre is... Listen, Albert's incredibly successful.
He's Anaheim Angels.
Anaheim Angels, slugger extraordinaire. And she could have, they have five children, she could have made the decision just, you know, not just to stay at home. I don't want to imply that that wouldn't be anything but an amazing full-time job in and of itself.
Sure.
But she has really taken the lead as a humanitarian. She created with Albert, created the Pujols Family Foundation, which supports families with children with special needs. And now she has two other endeavors, Strike Out Slavery, to combat slavery worldwide.
And again, I say, and she has the time how?
How?
Yeah.
Her mom helps her. I mean, I don't know. I really don't know.
And they have a child with special needs.
They do. They have a daughter. That was the impetus behind the Pujols Family Foundation. They have a daughter who has Down syndrome. Mm-hmm. And you might have seen Albert give his jersey the other night to the child with Down syndrome.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, it was amazing. He pulled off his jersey and gave it to the fan. It was incredible.
A blessing.
Can I say that I sat next to them, and they were so down to earth that they did not even say who they were. And we didn't even recognize them because they were out of jersey.
At the luncheon?
Yes, at the luncheon. Right. I sat right next to them, and my husband didn't even know who he was.
Oh, that's so funny. Okay, so my memory, and you all capture this beautifully in Coast Magazine, is I'm watching Deidre Pujols receive her honor and speak, and I'm looking over, and this is the baseball legend star Anaheim Angels with his cell phone up and the biggest smile on his face.
He was bursting.
So sweet.
Watching his wife be recognized.
Yeah, her dad was there too.
That was so cute.
Yeah, it was great.
I mean, it was just so human.
It was.
Right.
No, they are. And the other thing that Deidre is spearheading, supported by Albert too, is Open Gate International, which takes kids primarily from the Dominican Republic, which is where he's from, and hopes to give them a career in the culinary arts so they have some way to, you know, to better their circumstances.
I mean, anywhere in the world with that skill set.
Exactly. And, you know, they're really taking their platform and moving it forward for people who don't have the same access.
Well, what I love about that is that you tap into so many areas. I mean, this is the world of sports. And, you know, I've seen him on the news. I've seen him on our sports cast. But I never knew about Deidre.
Yeah.
And so that's why I love coming to an event like yours, because I would not have known about her and the amazing works.
Exactly. Thank you. That is the point.
Yes.
I mean, really, and there are so many other people. I was just talking to Katie, who, as you've probably guessed, is now part of my kitchen cabinet to identify people.
You reeled her in.
Yeah, who we're going to get for next year, and the names are just as exciting as ever.
Yeah. Well, I'm wondering, Katie, because I know we all have busy careers and successful careers. Are you not humbled? Because I look at these women and hear them speak, and I am humbled by what they're doing.
Humbled, but I'm also very hopeful.
Yes,
right?
Agreed, yes.
Yeah, because you want to know that there are other people like you doing things to change the world. And I every time I walk into a room like that, I just think, okay, there are real angels walking amongst us.
Mm-hmm.
And real possibilities. I mean, we haven't talked about Deborah Miller yet, who's one of the women of Coast. But she was a very successful marketing individual with you know, married. They have a son. Their son is diagnosed at age of 5 with Duchenne.
Her story was amazing.
It's so amazing. Duchenne is a form of muscular dystrophy that is tragically not curable at this point. And the life expectancy for it affects uniquely young boys. The life expectancy is early 20s. Mm-hmm. No, there's no recorded exception to that. And she was given this diagnosis. She and her husband are given this diagnosis of their son. And instead of saying, okay, this is our fate, she said, yeah, no, that's not acceptable. That's not acceptable for my son. That's not acceptable for anyone's son. And so they leveraged their entire life to create a foundation that not only would research this rare form, this rare genetic disease, but also create a funding model for other forms of disease research.
To me, she was just an example of a mother who stood up for her child and has seen great success beyond her wildest imagination.
Exactly.
And we want that for everyone.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's not only benefiting her son, but it's going to benefit thousands around the world.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. Yeah, that's what a mom can do.
So, Katie, talk about one of your philanthropy projects right now. Give us some insight on what you're working on.
Well, geez, we actually, through G3 Ventures, we actually seed companies that have a social mandate. So a company will start up and it will want to disrupt the way things are done and create a different way of a product or a different way of servicing a need. And they do it in a sustainable model, in a capitalist model, so that they can continue to grow and make an impact. So one of the companies is a company called Zero Mass Water, and they make these hydro panels. It looks like solar panels, but it makes drinking water, perfect drinking water, pH balance, everything from sunlight and air. And so it's completely self-contained. It's portable. You can bring it to, you know, the deepest parts of, you know, sub-Saharan Africa, to, you know, places like Puerto Rico or even Flint, Michigan. So they have these panels at all these places where there's water shortage and water needs. And so it can produce up to 30 liters of water a day, perfect drinking water. I have them in my house.
Okay, see, I get so many story ideas I'm talking to you all.
Yeah.
That's amazing. You got to feel so good about yourself that you're creating hope and change and water, survival people.
Well, I just love being able to be surrounded by people who have so much hope in their hearts that they create change like this and create models for other people to replicate.
Okay, what else? Give me something else, because I know you have like five different things on the plate here.
Oh my gosh. So we're doing, in connection to that, we're doing innovative philanthropy. So we're bringing next generation donors together to think about how we want to change the world together, and also try to infuse technology and innovation to the way we give. And so we are bringing together the next generation of family philanthropists. And so connecting people from various backgrounds with different interests, try to pool our money together, try to make a difference.
I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And then I just agreed to join the Be Well Orange County, which is the new mental health initiative down in Orange County.
An important issue with the homelessness.
Absolutely. Very important.
I have to do that story first. So I see the look in your eye.
You get the exclusive. You get the first. Okay. We'll talk about more of your honor reason. All right. Shanice
Smith. Oh my gosh. She's the general counsel for Chalk Children's Hospital, which, as you know, is the foremost facility for children's intervention. And she's not only, a groundbreaker. She's a young woman of color who rose to this position in 3 years, whereas it usually takes 15 to rise to such a position. But she also created a nonprofit to help families that are undergoing, something where they would need an
support.
Attorney's experience.
Oh,
thank you.
Legal.
Support. And offering it to them. And then also, too, within the structure of the hospital, families that need support for their medical bills, how to pay for that.
That's wonderful.
She's doing that as well.
Boy, that's so badly needed.
It is.
Okay, so I get to bump into a friend or two at your events. So Elizabeth Ahn, she did the catering. Who doesn't love food from the Ahn family? We're talking crustacean, Anki, Teatro restaurants.
You know,
we all love in Southern California.
That is going to be something in our August issue that you can look forward to. You know, her mother, Helen Ahn, who is a venerable
Mama
chef.
Mama Ahn,
was honored by the Smithsonian.
Yes, I know.
Yes. Did you cover that? Yes, you must have.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So she's going to be in our pages next month. So it was the Women of Coast was an event by women, supported by women, for women, supported by women.
And we should point out that Anki is a restaurant at South Coast Plaza.
It is indeed.
And it was a hit when it came in.
And still is. Remains to be success.
So. Okay, fantastic. I know we have a little squeaking of the mic here. I don't know what's going on here.
Is that me?
Okay. We're going to just check our little mics here.
All right.
We have a mouse in the house. Okay, I'm looking at Julie Hill and Shelley Haas.
Julie Hill, my goodness. I don't even know where to begin with Julie Hill. She is one of the women who has smashed more than one glass ceiling. She is on the board of directors for UCI, and she has created many companies in her tenure. And she has been very much a mentor to me to say, how do women support other women? And Shelley Haas is the president of the Orange County Community Foundation, which is one of the most important entities in the county for philanthropic work. It's actually, I think, how I first met you, Katie.
That's right, yeah. I met Shelley almost maybe 10 years ago, and I first phoned her up out of nowhere, and I said, I know you don't know who I am, but I want to do philanthropy differently, and I want to come in and talk to you. And she was like, great, let's do it.
Wow.
Most open-minded, very innovative person in her own right.
Well, as we're looking and talking about all these dynamic women doing all these amazing things, and I can tell everyone's so busy, let's talk about how you do it all kind of thing. So the advice for other women, advice for the younger generation perhaps, Samantha, how do you do your career and maintain your sanity? We'll start with that.
I don't know that sanity is maintained, first
of
all.
Oh, come on.
Really, it comes down to women supporting women. I mean, if I didn't have my kitchen cabinet of girlfriends to bounce ideas off of, to seek guidance from, mm-hmm. I don't know what I would do. One brain can't do it all. And I think that's one thing natively we do as women. We ask each other for support. And when I can't do something, even you today, I'm just going to bring this personal aspect in. My stepdaughter's here. My husband and my son are off doing something else. I said, Christine, can I bring her? And you
of
were
course.
Like, of course you can.
Is she watching TV behind us?
She's watching TV behind us. She could care less what we're doing. But the fact that that was open and that was possible is what I'm talking about, right? Women helping women. It seems
of course.
Like,
it's easy.
It seems like a natural, but not necessarily, right?
Not a problem at all.
Yeah. So that's what I think it comes down to women
helping
women.
Well, see, I think the neat thing is, too, is that she can see you being successful.
Well,
and, you know, that's important for her to see, leadership.
It is really important for her. Yeah. Thank you for bringing that up. That was also in my mind.
Yeah.
To see,
you might
not
be very cool here.
Yeah, very cool. Like, how can I be cool for my stepdaughter? But also to see you, to see Katie, to see our engineer who's being very quiet
Alexia.
There in the corner, Alexia, to see women making an impact and being professional.
Very, I see.
Yes.
Kind of take your daughter to work kind of
exactly.
day kind of thing. Very clever.
And later, we are going to meet with a friend of mine who is a movie producer and a screenwriter.
Well, that's
and,
fun.
Yeah. Catherine Michon, who co-wrote A Dog's Purpose with her husband.
Oh,
that's a great
W.
movie.
W. Bruce Cameron.
Neat.
Yeah, they're very dear friends of ours. And so, you know, for her to see that, hey, why
very
not?
Very good.
Yeah.
You know, it's about exposure. You never know what seeds are going to be planted in her that might, you know, trigger her to think, I could do that too.
Precisely.
All right. So, Katie, how do you balance all that you have on the plate?
Well, I will tell you, today, for instance, we're getting ready for my kids to go to camp, and they have to go to their doctor's appointment, and my husband stepped in. So he's a great equal partner of mine. He, you know, he's there, always supportive. But also, like Sam said, you know, my community of girlfriends is really what makes me tick, and they're the ones that make me look effortless in what I do. Yesterday, I hosted a dinner presentation, and it was hosted at my girlfriend's place, who owns a cybersecurity firm. She hosted it at her headquarters, and she said, "Don't worry about finding a place. Come here. I'll handle everything for you." It takes women like that who see your vision, who see your efforts, and then try to help you get there quicker, sooner. You know, with all of your sanity.
You know, oh, sorry.
Yeah.
First of all, you made me look bad because I didn't mention my husband and how supportive he is. But I really, you know, this thing we're talking about, men have done this natively for eons.
That's right.
Right? And it has been my experience, at least early in my career, that there was a lot of competition among women. Mm-hmm. At least that's what I experienced early on. I don't experience that anymore. I experience this sense of collaboration and shine theory. And I'm really dedicated to the idea that the more, right? The more we
Absolutely.
Do this, the more it becomes the normal thing to do.
So with the Women of Coast, when you first planted this idea, how did you go about getting interest and getting really pulling it together?
I have to thank my bosses, honestly, who are men.
Supportive
at Southern,
bosses?
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Who are at Southern California News Group. We had initially tried something like this about 4 years ago, but it never got off the ground for various reasons. And then, frankly, when the whole Me Too movement was at its apex, it became clear that we needed to have some kind of conversation.
Really?
About women. And something, I didn't want to get stuck in the idea of Me Too. I wanted to get stuck in the idea of We Do. What are we doing?
Soundbite right there.
There we
okay.
go.
Okay.
It's your motto.
It is. And oh, excuse me. I just broke your chair. when I approached our bosses about this, they didn't hesitate for a second. They said, absolutely, let's make it work. What do you need?
Because I would think with these dynamic women who have been around doing it already, that there would have been something like this. I mean, I just assumed you'd been doing it for like 10, 15 years.
No, not even. It's interesting that you bring that up. There are now many more such events. But here's the thing. I didn't want to. Well, let me just say there have been events in the past from other organizations that highlighted, yay, women, you know, women entrepreneurs or women this. And it felt almost condescending as if, oh, look at you girls. Aren't you doing great? Do you know, rather than talking about women as empowered, powerful people, do you know? And so in this dynamic with Women of Coast, I wanted women to celebrate other women of power to celebrate other women, women of power to shine their light on women who might not be yet in the spotlight, and by that way, lifting all of us up.
Well, it feels very empowering, Katie, wouldn't you say, when you walk in that room?
Well, first
it's like
of all,
the place to be.
It's beautifully done. Yes. So I give high compliments to Coast Magazine for that. Everything they do is just high class.
Thank you.
But, you know, Samantha has this way of drawing everyone in, pulling everyone in to her own energy, her own power. And I think that's why women, you know, join in and they celebrate this effort, because we understand that she is here for the mission of empowering women, and it comes out so clearly to all of us. So we want to make her successful, we want to make this issue successful, and we want to make this effort successful.
Oh, thank you. I wish I could. Yes, thank you. I thank
You're welcome.
You. Thank you so much for that. And it is a collective effort at the magazine. I have an amazing creative director, Karen Kelso, and an amazing managing editor, Jen Tanaka, and we're kind of the three musketeers.
They're amazing, the best in the business.
And then my contact with you is Caroline Janik Wong.
And Caroline Wong, who is director of communications for the company, and she's just a class act all the way around.
Yeah, for
and,
sure.
And Katie Zeno, who is actually the person who puts the events together. She's our event and marketing manager, and she's the boots on the ground making it all look flawless. So I have a lot of people to thank for.
So, Katie, I'm sure in your industry you have received a fair number of recognitions or accolades. How did this one maybe speak to you differently?
Well, first of all, there's a magazine that comes with it, which is amazing because it's
a profile.
Yeah, and so it's something that I can share with my kids. I actually have two copies, so one for each daughter, so they can have as a memorabilia.
Yeah.
But my daughter, my youngest daughter, she saw the plaque with my photo on it. Usually, the plaques don't have these beautiful photos attached to them, and then she held it up, and you know, she said, "Mom, take a picture of me holding your plaque." So I think it was so much more personal this time around, and for them to see that I'm being honored for my service to others, I think is an important message, because a lot of times, you know, we are nurturing, we are mothers after all, and they see us do things for them, and then to see a community of women honoring each other, you know, in service of other people is also terrific. But then also, Samantha has this wonderful way of, you know, giving us this platform. And so few women have the ability to have that platform. It's followed by media. It's followed by, you know, so many other things. Usually it's just a luncheon speech, right? You come that day, you say what you have to say, and you leave. But there's so many reverberations to this event, which is what makes it so special.
Thanks. That was the plan. I'm so glad you see that's actually coming to fruition. That means a lot to me. Katie, thank you.
And then the Olympic and Bundy podcast.
And then the Olympic and Bundy podcast with our amazing MC and host. Thank you.
Well, you know, I don't have children myself, but I feel like I can relate, because with social media, you know, everything's out there. And I have a niece in Northern California, and I can see when she likes one of my photos or not. And it's like, okay, I better watch what I'm posting up there. And I want her to see me doing things in the community and being active, so that she knows that's the life we're going to live. We're going to be involved. We're going to contribute. We're going to be out in the community. We're going to care about issues. And so I know for me, the things that she sees are so very important.
Yes.
It's interesting that I always forget that you're not a mother, because you have done so much for children in your work here.
Well, my family, they were foster parents and adoptive parents. So.
I know, but it's a tradition that you have carried on in giving a platform and voice to a lot of these issues.
Well, you talk about your support team, then, you know, of course, that comes with a support team of Fox 11, who really gave it to me as an assignment. And the fact that they've stayed with it, with sponsorship, without sponsorship, for, we're coming up on 25 years now.
25 years.
Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow. That's as long as I've been in Los Angeles and in Southern California.
Yeah.
Wow.
We've been a long time. Well, now some of the kids, they're, you know, they're older. Mm-hmm. I'm getting like people finding me on Instagram in their 20s. But you do realize what people see you do sticks with them.
Absolutely.
It's implanted. Yeah. So for your daughters to see that you're recognized as a woman who's doing really important things.
Yeah.
Such a lesson.
Well, you know, she often asked me if I'm famous, and I said, no, no, I'm not famous.
Well, I'd like to think so on the podcast here.
Well, after today, of course, everybody. It changes everything. But, you know, it's nice for them to have a sense of pride, you know, and, you know, my kids are young. Maybe when they get to teenagers, they won't really be so proud of me anymore. But
almost a guarantee of that for a while.
That's what
you
I
got to go
too.
Through that stage. It comes with it.
I know. But for right now, I'll take it. Right.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Oh, that's very cool. Okay, so the luncheon has come and gone. Are you already working on 2020?
We are. Just in the sitting in your lobby, we were already hatching plans for what is going to come for 2020.
Is there any shortage of women?
Oh my gosh, we could do this for the next 15 years and we would not have a shortage of women. Honestly, mm-hmm. It is astounding. The more you dig, the more amazing angels you find.
And do you have people submit or approach you that you really have to meet or know about so-and-so?
Increasingly, which is wonderful. It's expanding that net. Interestingly enough, if people pitch themselves, I know that they're not right for the program.
They might
be right for other things, but if they're pitching themselves, it has to come through recommendation
of
another person.
Let me take that letter back I sent you about myself. Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah, it's the people that don't necessarily seek the honor that need the honor.
Wow.
Do you know?
And I like, too, that it's not just people who have careers that are necessarily front and center in the limelight.
Exactly.
I love that.
In fact, you know, the people who are in the limelight, those are the people we have as presenters.
Ah.
Right? To say, here, these are recognizable names, certainly within the Orange County community. Yeah. Let me tell you about this person you might not know.
And bring someone else along.
Exactly. Shine theory,
and
baby.
And I think, too, it's such validation. You know, even like in my own career, a validation kind of propels you to do more.
Exactly.
Not that you need the validation to feel good about yourself, but to propel you to continue to do more.
Right. Exactly.
That it matters.
It matters.
That working with foster kids matters.
It's being seen. It has a resonance. It has ripple effects out into the community. And what that means is into the lives of other people. Mm-hmm. Isn't that what we're all about, really?
Mm-hmm. So, Katie, as we kind of bring this to kind of a close, give me some thoughts about the Women of Coast.
Well, it's such a special issue of a very special magazine. And I can see it's the heart and soul of, you know, Sam and the team there at Coast Magazine. But one of the things that I was most excited about doing Coast was the fact that I get to pass on the torch next year and be able to nominate somebody next year for the honor.
Oh, nice.
And so to me, that's a great privilege. That's probably the best privilege.
Yeah.
That is, I'm glad you brought that up. It becomes a self-perpetuating event because now we have the presenters from the honorees from this year as presenters for next year, mm-hmm. and they get to weigh in on who they think deserves the honor, and it's amazing.
And I love, too, the people who come just to be around the event. I've been lucky enough to bring my dear friend Leslie Siegel of California Closets, Orange County.
She's
and she's just been a great philanthropist in helping one of our foster adoptive families kind of get their home together and get some closet space. So I think just the networking of people, whether they're on the honoree stage or the presenter stage, just to kind of be there and say hi to friends and connect and feel, you know, empowered as you walk out that door. It's just amazing.
In the room where it happens. The room where it happens.
Sure. All right. Sam, any last thought?
Other than just thank you so much, Christine. Your support of this and your willingness to shine a light on Women of Coast and what we're doing is exactly the in action what we hoped for this event. And I just can't appreciate you more.
It's all these women that I like, how do I not know them? Or I'm so glad to know them.
Yeah.
You know, so you're really like the introduction for me. And, you know, I work in news and in news. We deal with a lot of the bad stuff.
I know.
And I do events like this to know that there are people making a difference, fighting for their communities that maybe we don't always see because they're doing it day in and day out.
That's right.
And that's the real world.
Thanks, babe.
Thank you so much.
Oh, I get to be called Babe. I'm one of the girls.
You are.
All right. This episode of Olympic and Bundy focuses on Coast Magazine. It's in Orange County, and they honor the women of Coast, and it truly is dynamic. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.